إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Wherever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that he may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the fire. We want to make these series of lessons, inshallah, like the lessons we made before, from Adur al-Bahiyya with Al-Adillat al-Radiyya by Imam al-Shawkani and Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq.
Hey, Ibrahim, on that Shawkani, you got it all in like a series, like one through whatever, on Hajj?
We're going to use the book Al-Wajizu في فقه السنة والكتاب العزيز تأليف عبد العظيم بن بدوي الخلفي I think قدم له الشيخ محمد صفوت نور الدين والشيخ محمد صفوت الشوارفي or something like that. This book is called Al-Wajiz, or a summary of the fiqh based on the sunnah and the kitab al-aziz, referring to the Quran, by Abdul Azim ibn al-Badawi. And the introduction to this book was written by Muhammad Safwat Nur al-Din, who we know, who visited our masjid, alhamdulillah, and the other Shaykh, Muhammad Safwat al-Shawarafi, or however his name is pronounced, hafizahullah. And we're at Kitab al-Hajj, as the Shaykh says, the book of Hajj. And then he says, Fadl al-Hajj wal-Umrata, or the virtues of Hajj and Umrah. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Al-Umratu ila al-Umrati kaffaratun lima baynahuma wal-Hajj al-Mabruru laysa lahu jazaun illa al-Jannah. And this is collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one umrah to the next umrah is an atonement for the sins committed between the two. And al-hajj al-mabrur, or the hajj performed properly, there is no reward for it other than Jannah. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة فإنهما ينفيان الذنوب والفقر كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد والذهب والفضة وليس والذهب والفضة وليس لحجة مبرورة ثواب إلا الجنة. And this is authentically collected by At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, follow up the Hajj, or stay on top of the performance of the Hajj and the Umrah, because the Hajj and the Umrah, it wipes away sins and poverty, just like the care wipes away the filth from the iron and the gold and the silver. And there's no reward for the Hajj al-Mabrur, or the Hajj performed properly, except al-Jannah. This care, I forgot the name of it in English. It's when the blacksmith, he used some stuff to clean off the iron. Somebody know what that's called? It's like a big thing. A bellow. Nah. At any rate, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I forgot about this hadith when we were having the khutbah on the virtues of the Hajj and the Umrah, that you should stay on top of your Hajj and Umrah because it removes the sins and poverty. And unfortunately, we misunderstand the Hajj. We think that if we put all our money out to make Hajj, we're going to be poor. Instead of looking at it, if you make the Hajj, it's going to remove your being poor. Now, just like when you have gold, and most of us, if not all of us, we never saw gold in its raw state. But it's not, it doesn't look good as it does on our wives in the finished state. At any rate, there's something that cleans the gold that makes it look shiny like that. This is what Hajj does to your sin and your empty stash. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the sins and the poverty by the performance of the Hajj. Making it Hajj, akhi? Allah musta'an. Allah help me. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يقول من حج لله عز وجل فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه. And this is collected by Bukhari and Muslim and others on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, whoever performs Hajj for the sake of Allah عز وجل and he doesn't commit illegal sexual intercourse and he doesn't commit sins or argues, then he will return like the day that his mother gave birth to him, showing that he'll be free from committing any sins. وعن ابن عمر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الغازي في سبيل الله والحاج والمعتمر وفد الله دعاهم فأجابوه وَسَأَلُوهُ فَأَعْطَاهُمْ. And this has been authentically collected by Ibn Majah on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, the one who fights fi sabilillah and the one who is making Hajj and Umrah are the guests of Allah. Allah has called them and they answered. And they asked Allah and He gave them. Now, and we forgot to mention this hadith, also amongst the virtues of the Hajj and the Umrah. And the Hajj is compulsory with the Umrah one time in your life for every Muslim who is of age and of sane mind and is free and has the ability to do so. قال الله تعالى إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. From Surah Ali Imran, verses 96 and 97, where Allah Ta'ala says, indeed the first house that has been placed for the people is the house at Becca, which is blessed and a guidance for all the people. Becca, as some of the ulama, they explain that Becca and Mecca both basically mean the same thing. Becca and Mecca both means are the same thing. Kind of like saying East Orange and EO. Except that Becca, some of the ulama say, is the part directly or right around the Kaaba area. And then Mecca is the whole city. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. In it are clear proofs and the Maqamu Ibrahim, or as you say, the Ibrahim station. And whoever enters it will be safe. And it is a duty upon humanity to Allah to make Hajj to the house, whoever has the ability to do so, and whoever denies, then indeed Allah is ghaniyun anil alameen, or Allah is free from all of the worlds. Meaning Allah is not in need of you to make Hajj or the Umrah for His sake, but it's for your benefit. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا أيها الناس إن الله قد فرض عليكم الحج فحجوه فقال رجل أكل عام يا رسول الله فسكت حتى قالها ثلاث ثم قال لو قلت نعم لوجبت ولما استطعتم ثم قاذروني ما تركتكم فإنما أهلك من كان قبلكم كثرة سؤالهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم فإذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم وإذا نهيتكم عن شيء فدعوه. And this is authentically collected by Imam Muslim and others, where Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a khutbah and he said, O humanity, indeed Allah has made Hajj an obligation on you, or has made Hajj fard upon you, so make the Hajj. So a man said, every year, Ya Rasulullah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was quiet until the man asked him three times, every year, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said after the third time, if I would have said yeah, it would have been compulsory and you would have not been able to do it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave me alone with what I left you. Indeed, those who came before you were destroyed because of too many questions and because they're differencing over their prophets, meaning believing in some and differing and disbelieving in others. So if I command you to do something, do it as much as you have the ability to. And if I prohibit you from something, then leave it alone. This shows the obligation of the Hajj as well as the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت وصيام رمضان. And this is authentically collected by Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, who said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said Al-Islam is based on five: to bear witness to la ilaha illallah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, to establish the salat, to pay the zakat, to make hajj to the house, and to fast the month of Ramadan. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه عمرة استمتعنا بها فمن لم يكن عنده الهدي فليحل الحل كله فإن العمرة قد دخلت في الحج إلى يوم القيامة. And this is authentically collected by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, who said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said this is the Umrah that استمتعنا بها, that we make along with our Hajj. And whoever doesn't have his animal with him that he's going to use to slaughter, then he should come out of his state of ihram completely. And indeed the Umrah has been entered into the Hajj up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. وعن الصبي بن معبد قال أتيت عمر رضي الله عنه فقلت يا أمير المؤمنين إني أسلمت وإني وجدت الحج والعمرة مكتوبين علي فأهللت بهما فقال هديت لسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this has been authentically collected by Imam al-Nasai and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah in their Sunans. On the authority of Asabi ibn Ma'bad, who said, I came to Umar radiallahu anhu and I said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, indeed I have accepted Islam and I found that the Hajj and the Umrah are both compulsory and an obligation upon me. So I made the Hajj and the Umrah. And the Prophet, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, you have been guided to the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So that's the end of the section of the Shaykh, the virtues of the Hajj and Umrah, and also we see in it the obligation that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has placed on the Hajj and the Umrah, and that is that it's performed once in a lifetime for whoever has the ability to do so. The next section, the Shaykh, he says, Hajj al-Sabiyyi wal-Abdu, the Hajj of the child or the slave. It's not compulsory on the child or the one who is insane to perform the Hajj. From the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, رُفِيَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَ عَنِ الْمَجْنُونِ حَتَّى يَفِيقَ وَعَنِ النَّائِمِ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقَظَ وَعَنِ الصَّبِيِّ حَتَّى يَحْتَلِمَ. And this hadith is authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's collected by Abu Dawood in his Sunnah, in his Sunan, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the pin has been raised on three, or lifted on three: the one who is insane until he gains his sanity, on the one who is asleep until he wakes up, and on the child until he reaches the age of puberty. And it is not compulsory on the slave, because he doesn't have the ability, because he's busy serving his master. And if the if a child or a slave makes Hajj, then their Hajj is complete, but it isn't sufficient for them, as it doesn't count for their obligation of committing or performing the Hajj until the child is of age and until the slave is set free. An ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu ma anna imra'atan rafa'at ila an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam sabiyan fa qalat ali hadha hajjun. And this is authentically collected by Imam Muslim and others on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who said that a lady raised her child up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, can he have a Hajj? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, and you get the reward for it. And in the other hadith, also collected by also on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أيما صبي حج ثم بلغ فعليه حجة أخرى وأيما عبد حج ثم اعتق فعليه حجة أخرى. And this is collected by Imam al-Bayhaqi, and it's authentic on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, any child that makes Hajj and then reaches the age of puberty, then they have to make another Hajj. And any slave that makes Hajj and then is set free afterwards has to make another Hajj. The next section. Ma hiya al-istata'a. What is it to mean that you have the ability to make Hajj? The Shaykh Abdul Azim ibn al-Badawi hafadhahullah, he says, the ability means that you are in good health and you have the financial means or what it takes that is enough for you to go and to get back to where you come from. And that means that you have to take you and to bring you back is more than your regular money and wealth that you have to take care of the things that are compulsory for you to take care of. And that the way to the Hajj is a safe way. Now, the Shaykh, he says, as far as the condition of your health, then this is from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, أَنَّ امْرَأَةً مِنْ خَثْعَمْ قَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ أَبِي أَدْرَكَتْهُ فَرِيضَةُ الْحَجِّ فريضة الله في الحج شيخا كبيرا لا يستطيع أن يستوي على راحة على راحلة فأحج عنه قال حجي عنه. And this is authentically collected by Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, that a lady from Khaf'am, she said, يا رسول الله, my father has reached the time of his obligation of Hajj. And he's an old man and he doesn't have the ability to sit on the riding animal. Can I make Hajj for him? And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, make Hajj for him. And as far as having what is sufficient for yourself to go to the Hajj, on top of what you already have for your necessities and your normal provisions for yourself at home, then this is for the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يَضِيعَ مَنْ يَقُوتُ. And this is authentically collected by Abu Dawood and others. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يَضِيعَ مَنْ يَقُوتُ. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يَضِيعَ مَنْ يَقُوتُ. I just need to remember that, memorize this hadith. As this hadith, we need to keep it on our tongues, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is sufficient for a person to be a sinner if he does not take care of those who he is responsible for. It's sufficient for a person to be a sinner if he doesn't take care of those who he's responsible for. Let me give a clear example. Somebody calls you to go out for 40 days. And you just take off work. And they're not going to pay you. And you leave your wife and your children behind. Because you're saying you're going to give da'wah. And there's no one to take care of them. You become a sinner. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, it's sufficient that a person is a sinner to not take care of those who he's responsible for financially, that he's providing for them. And the Shaykh is using this as evidence to show, if you make Hajj, you can't take your wife and your children's food money and rent money for the month and then go make a Hajj with that money. If you only have money to pay for rent and food for your wife and your children in your absence while you make Hajj, then that means you don't have the ability to make Hajj. Because you become a sinner if you're not taking care of those who you're financially responsible for, from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يَضِيعَ مَنْ يَقُوتُ. That it is sufficient for a person to be a sinner not to provide for those who he is responsible for, from the hadith of Abu Dawood. As far as the condition that the way should be safe, that is because we have been prohibited to harm ourselves Islamically. And maybe the Shaykh, he didn't quote anything, maybe he's using the hadith that's famously known by everyone from the collection of Imam An-Nawawi rahimullah in his 40 hadith, La darara wa la dirar, that there's no harming of yourself or harming others or bringing, there's no harming others or bringing harm to yourself. Or as the Prophet ﷺ says by that, I think that's what the Shaykh might be referring to, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is the conditions, or this is the meaning of whoever has the ability to do so. Meaning he's healthy enough to handle the trip, and he has the meat, the money, the financial ability to go and come on top of his normal responsibilities, and it's safe for him to go. Not like going in a plane that has one propeller and the other one is broke, and the pilot says, I don't know if we're going to make it, but this is how you drive the plane. Inshallah, I'll be waiting here while you drive. Now, the way has to be safe. And alhamdulillah, most of the time nowadays it's safe. Alhamdulillah. The next section, the Shaykh, he says, Hajj al-Mar'a, the Hajj of the lady. The Shaykh says, if the lady has the conditions that we mentioned before, showing that she has the ability to make the Hajj, then the Hajj becomes compulsory on her just like it becomes on a man, except that there's an added condition for the women, and that is her husband must go with her or a mahram. And that is, if she doesn't find a mahram, then she is not able to make the Hajj. Because of the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma qal sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqulu la yakhluwanna rajulun bi imra'atin illa wa ma'a hadha dhu mahram wa la tusafiru al-mar'atu illa ma'a dhi mahram faqama rajulun faqala ya Rasulullah inna imra'ati kharajat hajjatan wa inni iktutibtu fi ghazwati kadha wa kadha faqala intaliq fahujja ma'a imra'ati. And this is authentically collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, and this is the narration of Imam Muslim. Wa Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, a man should never be alone with a lady except that she has a mahram with her. And a lady must not travel except that she has a mahram. So a man stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, my wife went out to make hajj by herself. And it's been written, or I've been commanded to fight in the battle so and so. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go and I command you to make hajj with your wife. And this shows that the lady cannot make the hajj except with a mahram. The next section, the Shaykh, he says, Al-Hajj al-Fawri. The hajj must be done immediately. It is compulsory on whoever has the ability to hurry to make the hajj because of the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man arada al-hajj falyata'ajjal, fa'innahu qad yamridu al-maridu wa tadhillu ad-dallatu wa ta'ridu al-hajatu." And this is authentically collected by Ibn Majah, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Whoever wants to do the hajj, then let him hurry to perform the hajj." And that is because he might get sick, or he might lose his means of transportation, or something else might just come up. The mawaqit, or the places called the miqat. The miqat for the hajj is a time and a place, and the sheikh will explain. I meant to say, if there are any questions as we go along, then whoever has the questions, because maybe at the end somebody might forget. Nah. Hajj is an obligation on every individual, and every individual must have what it takes to make hajj. Now, like you say, does every lady has to have a mahram? Yes. Just like every man has to have a plane ticket. Now, or he doesn't have the ability to go, he could say, well, all of those brothers got it. You know why I can't go? Because those brothers got their means and you don't have the means. And the same thing with the sister. Why all those women going and I can't go? Because all of them got mahrams and you don't have mahrams. And in our hajj package from the Islamic Center of America, Masjid Ahl Sunnah, we do not let any women make hajj with us that don't have mahrams. And some people say, if that's on her, no, it's on us too. If you want to come with us, then you're going to be on Islam. And if you don't want to be on Islam, ma'a salam. Astaghfirullah. Na'am akhi. No. The brother, he says he was in Kuwait and there was a group of women that went without a mahram. Is that correct? No. Why? Because of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you've been commanded to fight jihad, you have to obey that command. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I've been commanded to go fight jihad fi sabilillah. And my wife went out to make hajj. Go make the hajj with your wife. No. Go make the hajj with your wife. He made this statement to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, my wife went to make hajj. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, a lady must not travel without a mahram. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my wife went to make hajj. And Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi, he puts this hadith under hajj. He puts this hadith under the verdicts of hajj. Meaning in that chapter of hajj, a lady must not travel except with a mahram for hajj and other than hajj. To show that this text of the Prophet ﷺ was mentioned in the context of women going to make hajj. It ain't like it's a blanket statement and we're applying it to hajj. But the man heard it from the Prophet ﷺ, from him. And he had one of the biggest excuses that anyone has. That when you've been commanded to make jihad, then you have to make jihad. And if you don't, then you know that's a major sin after you've been called out to make the jihad, and you don't fight the jihad fi sabilillah. So the Prophet ﷺ excused him to go perform it with his wife. And this is the answer to all of the brothers or to all of the sisters who ask, I want to make hajj but my husband won't come with me. Tell your husband, we said that the Prophet ﷺ says, go, I command you to make hajj with your wife. Now. Now, this issue of what we do in America, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our Islam and correct our understanding, we have to leave that alone. Somebody makes you a mahram, just like somebody make you a wali. Really, even our masjid, alhamdulillah, the Islamic Center of America, Masjid Ahl al-Sunnah, we don't even tolerate any more marriages with the fake walis. Yo, can you be the wali for my girl? We're going to get married, inshallah. We don't even accept those marriages because the Prophet ﷺ said, "As-sultanu waliyun liman la waliya lahu," from the authentic hadith of Abu Dawood, I think it is, and others. The Prophet ﷺ says, the leader is the wali for the one who doesn't have a wali. Not that your friend is the wali for the one who doesn't have a wali. And the same thing, a mahram. A mahram is the husband or those male relatives to the lady that can never ever marry her under any circumstances. Now, that can never ever marry her under any circumstances. You can marry her just like anybody else. Meaning, if that lady was divorced, can you marry her? Yes. Nah. But for example, if you marry a sister whose mother is Islam, if you marry a lady whose mother is Islam, all right, if the mother wants to go to Hajj, you can go with that, your wife's mother, to Hajj. Even if you divorced your wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep her with you. Even if you divorced her, you can't marry the mother after you married the daughter. I think that is. Let me back up again. I hope that's the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Matter of fact, let me scratch that. While you married with her, then if you want to go with your wife's mother, say you're leaving your wife at home, and you're going to take your wife's mother to Hajj, you can do that. And we're sure at least about this point while you're married, because Allah says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ, until He comes down to that part of the ayah, وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ, that the mothers of your wives are haram to you. Nah. Allah knows best. Excuse me, yes. Excuse me. So in Islam, you're not supposed to have a girlfriend, period. Nah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Don't go near fornication and adultery, zina. Indeed, it is abominable deed and an evil way. No. Yeah. If somebody accepts Islam and his girlfriend didn't accept Islam, then he should bring his girlfriend to the masjid, or make her a Muslim by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission, and then marry them, and then everything will be okay, inshallah. Then they could make the hajj together. No. Now, one man could be a mahram for everybody he's mahram for. Now, one man could be a mahram for everybody he's mahram for, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. I can't hear you. For ulama, they say that if a lady goes, her hajj is accepted and she's a sinner.
They say her hajj is accepted, maybe, and she's a sinner. But usually if you start off wrong, how are you going to end up right? If that's her first disobedience, she might do some other stuff she's supposed to do, she don't do. And one of them things she was supposed to do, she didn't do, might invalidate her hajj. Like she might not go to Arafat, she here is blazing hot, she can't take the heat, she don't go, she blow her whole hajj. So one disobedience can lead to another disobedience. We're going to mention a story around that point, inshallah. Let me just back up in case there was any other questions around the point of a child making hajj. That if a child makes hajj, once he reaches the age of puberty, he has to make another hajj. That's just a virtuous deed for the boy and whoever takes the child. And when the child gets old enough, now he has to do it for his own Islam. And the same thing for a slave, but there ain't no slaves. Alhamdulillah. And having the ability means that you have the health and the funds over top of your normal provisions for yourself and your family, and you have a safe way to get there. And also, Hajj removes your sins and your poverty. And one of the brothers, I used to know his name. I heard one of the brothers, he went and made Hajj, came back, opened a store, and became like a millionaire or something downtown. One of the brothers. He used to have what was that kind of store again? What kind of store he had? Like a health food store or something? Yeah, I think they said he had like a little luncheon cafe. Rahim, you know that brother? The brother who went to Hajj used to have like a cafe or something downtown. Health food store, sell juices or something like that. At any rate, if there are no examples, the Prophet ﷺ spoke the truth. If there's no examples, the Prophet ﷺ spoke the truth. And even if there's examples that seem opposite to it, those examples are lies. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is the truth. Like the example the Prophet ﷺ told the man, tell your brother to drink some honey. His stomach problem will be cured. And he came back and said, his stomach still got problems. The Prophet said, drink some honey. Came back for the third time. The Prophet ﷺ said, go tell your brother his stomach lying to him. And drink some honey, and he was cured. Go tell him his stomach is lying to him. And you know this is the case because sometimes you go to the hospital and you say such and such, and they check you out and they find out that you were okay. Yes, Akhi. Hajj, that's what we're going to get into the details of it now, inshallah. Amjad, Jazakallahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the brother and reward him and make us wealthier than he is. The mawaqitu zamaniya, the times when hajj can be performed. Qala ta'ala yas'alunaka 'anil ahilla qul hiya mawaqitu lin-nasi wal hajj. They ask you concerning the crescent, the moon, when it has the shape like that. Say, it shows the times for the people and the hajj. وقال تعالى الحج أشهر معلومات. Let me just check that. That's from Surah Al-Baqarah 197, where Allah says hajj is done in the months that are well known. Jazakallahu khairan. الحج أشهر معلومات. Or Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, أشهر الحج شوال وذو القعدة وعشر من ذي الحجة. And this is authentically collected by Imam al-Bukhari wa Abdullah ibn Umar. He says, the months of Hajj are Shawwal and Dhul Qa'dah and 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, مِنَ السُنَّةِ أَنْ لَا يُحْرَمْ بِالْحَجِّ أَنْ لَا يَحْرَمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ بِالْحَجِّ إِلَّا فِي أَشْهُرِ الْحَجِّ. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, from the sunnah is that you get in the state of ihram for Hajj only in the months of Hajj. Let me make a question, inshallah, that somebody asked me. If Hajj is performed in the months of Hajj of Shawwal and Dhul Qa'dah and the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, then how are you going to perform Hajj before the day of Arafah if Arafah is only in Dhul Hijjah? And that is, as we have mentioned before, the Umrah is connected with the Hajj. And you can perform your Umrah, which is a part of that Hajj, in those months, and then when the time of the Hajj comes to actually start, you do the Hajj. Like, we're going to do this year, inshallah. We're going to go, perform the Umrah, cool out until the time of Hajj comes, then get back in your Ihram, then go and make the Hajj. And your Umrah is a part of the Hajj as you make the Tamattu', which consists of the Hajj and the Umrah together. Yeah. Nah. You straight? Nah. You can get the whole 9 yards, inshallah. Nah. The issue is you got to perform the Hajj and the Umrah when you get the ability to do so. Nah. Whenever somebody has the ability to do so, he should hurry and make the Hajj and the Umrah. When you make the Hajj, the Umrah is going to be with it, inshallah. When you make the Hajj, the Umrah will be with it. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us. And as we're going to see from the statements of our Shaykh Abdul Azim Mubadawi, hafadahullah, that he's going to show that it's compulsory to make that Umrah with the Hajj. And at any rate, inshallah, with Masjid Ahl Sunnah, we're going to be doing it. The tamattu. We'll complete it, finish after the adhan, inshallah. Fast. We're going to try to, inshallah, before we leave for Hajj next Tuesday, inshallah, we're going to try to cover this section of the Hajj in the book of the Shaykh so that we will always have these tapes available, inshallah, for those who are making Hajj and those who didn't make Hajj. As a brother here is saying, what is Hajj? Now, a lot of us, we don't know what is Hajj and what are you going to do and what do you have to do and so on and so forth. And you have to follow through as Hajj is performed over, as we're going to see, as we're seeing that it's performed in a specific time, when it's performed over a certain amount of days, and then there are certain things that you have to do. We're going to make the whole series, inshallah, this week, and even the sisters' class on the weekend, inshallah. We're going to switch that up and switch everybody up to wherever we at on the Hajj with our Shaykh, hafadahullah, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, so that the Muslims could know what is Hajj. But we can't say it all in one day. And we're going to try to say it all in one day. As there's a long hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma in Sahih Muslim, where he tries to narrate the whole Hajj of the Prophet from beginning to end. And we try to go over all of the hadith as the Shaykh is doing it, putting everything in its place so that we understand it. But we're going to try to take, I thought we would finish up to everything except that till today, but maybe day after tomorrow, inshallah, we might get to that section where we'll try to make it one day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. Na'am. Islam, alhamdulillah, is Islam, alhamdulillah, is easy. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, inna deena yusram. Indeed, this deen, this religion is easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. And Allah only wants ease for you, and He doesn't want any difficulty for you. You're responsible for what you know. What you didn't learn, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Responsible now for what you know. If you come to the masjid every day for the salat, hang around the brothers and stuff like that, you learn little by little, like we're still learning little by little. Nobody in the masjid will stand up, myself included, and say, I know all of Islam. But all of us will just say that we're still learning Islam. So everybody might be on the level that he's on, but whatever level you're on, you're still learning and learning. As some of the ulama say, you learn until you're in the grave. And this has not been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave is a fabricated hadith, not authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the same with the hadith, seek knowledge even to China, or however it says. Those hadith are not authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and what has been authentically reported on him sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sufficient, with the likes of the ayat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'alamun, ask the people who know when you don't know, or the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah wa astaghfir li dhanbi, and I command you to have knowledge of la ilaha illallah and seek forgiveness of your sins. Or the statement of Allah, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, say, are those who know and have knowledge equal to those who don't have knowledge? And the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَلَا تَقُفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصْرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا, and don't say what you don't have any knowledge of. Indeed, the hearing, the sight, and the intellect will all be questioned. Or from the authentic hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خياركم في الجاهلية خياركم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا, that the best of you before Islam is the best of you in Islam, provided he gets an understanding of this religion. For the hadith of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين, that whoever Allah wants good for, he gives them the knowledge of this deen. And the other text would have been authentically reported on the Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم is sufficient for us. I don't know if there were any other questions around the points that we covered for the Hajj so far. At any rate, these months that the Hajj is performed in, meeting the Umrah with the Hajj, we're in the second one right now, called Dhul-Qa'dah. And we just finished the other one, which was called Shawwal. Shawwal is the month after Ramadan. So it's Shawwal, and then after Shawwal is Dhul-Qa'dah, and then after that is Dhul-Hijjah. Now, how does Shawwal fit into the... Yeah, we'll make it, we'll help them, inshallah. Before the airplane, there was a thing called shoes. Now, before the airplane, there was a thing called shoes. So the Muslims that were coming from West Africa and the Muslims that were coming from China, way up in Russia, people used to come on foot. So as we had mentioned before, some of the people used to take 2 years, 6 months. You don't know when you might get there. because you don't know how your provisions are working and this and that and the weather and so on and people getting sick and you might have to stay for days and whatever. So you might get there early and even people might get there late, as we're going to see in some of the texts of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his statement, Al-Hajj wa Arafah, that Hajj is Arafah. So that even if you don't get there by the day that the Hajj starts on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, and you get there by the 9th at the time where you can be on the Arafah, then you have caught the Hajj even if you run in a little late. But these are the months, as we see the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing that these are the months that the really will say the Umrah that's connected with the Hajj is performed in. And if it gets close to the end, then of course the Umrah and the Hajj will be closer to one another. Now, but it's even like one of the brothers who just came back recently, our beloved brother Sheikh Sulaiman in the back, the people already packing in Mecca and Al-Medina. And you have to try to imagine 2 million people coming into one city. And how many airplanes will it take, if somebody's good in math, to get 200 people to one area? How many planes you got to fill up? If you got 300 people to a plane, if you want to call that an average plane, or 350 or whatever, how many of those planes have to come to get 2 million? Talking about thousands of planes. And then the planes have started. Like some of the countries, they say 3 weeks before, they only send like 125,000 or something. Just like that. Every hour or something for 3 weeks, a plane is going to Medina from country so-and-so, let alone from all of the planes that will be going from all over the world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to be on one of those planes that will land where we can perform the Hajj and the Umrah for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I don't know if there was any other questions around the Hajj or the Umrah. As far as what we covered, the other questions, inshallah, tomorrow we'll cover a little more, and the next day more, and like that, inshallah ta'ala. Now. I don't know. The brother says, what's the basis behind the statement, mention my name on Arafah? I don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. You know, I used to tell all of the brothers, you know, I'm worried about me. Now. And the dua of the messengers, when they're on the sirat, is going to be, Rabbi Sallam Sallam. Oh, our Lord, make it safe, make it safe. If that's what the prophets are going to be saying, what we going to be saying? Now, knowing what we did. So this isn't anything against anybody, but an encouragement for everybody else to go. Remember me on Arafat? No. You can go to Arafat too. Assalamu alaikum. Because everybody's going to try to be concerned about himself if those du'as are going to be answered. Oh Allah, give me good teeth. Oh Allah, give me good health. Oh Allah, give me a lot of wealth. Oh Allah, protect my children. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. Oh, and probably by the end, and help all of the other Muslims. Now. And there's a lot of the du'a of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wassalam, that we make du'a for everyone. But the likes of the du'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. From the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, O Allah, the changer of the hearts, change our hearts to obedience to you. Change our hearts. And the likes of other dua of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, where he makes the dua in the plural, and it is for all of us. Or just like the ayah we're just mentioning, where you mention all of the Muslims in general, with the statement of Allah, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَالْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And I command you to have knowledge of La ilaha illallah and seek forgiveness for your sins and for the believing men and the believing women. So the people make dua, and there's dua from the Prophet for the Muslims and the believers in general. Now, for the Muslims and the believers in general. As for the specific people, I don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I remember reading one time before that some of our salaf, when they used to be asked, make dua for me, they would say, make dua for yourself. Now, Make dua for me. Make dua for yourself. Now, because there's no one in between Allah and the dua of His servant, so why are you not making dua? And you know, Arafat is only one of the many places where the dua is answered. In the sujood, middle of the night, the last third of the night, when it's raining, after the compulsory salat, the last hour on Jumu'ah, between the adhan and the iqamah right now. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. So everybody can make dua right now before the iqamah is made, because that dua will not be turned down. And maybe the brothers who ask you to make dua for them on Arafat, their dua should be right now, oh Allah, make me be on Arafat with the brother. Alhamdulillah.